Hi, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Puzzle Piece Podcast, the podcast dedicated to giving you tips and tricks about making it in the music industry. In the spirit of reconciliation, Puzzle Piece Podcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. On today's episode, we're speaking to Anika from Hachiku, the amazing Milk Records group who have garnered a lot of attention across the globe for their unique blend of indie rock and folk elements. Thanks for joining us today, Anika. How have things been for you in Melbourne with the lockdowns and tour cancellations and stuff? You been keeping busy?
Yeah, like I'm house sitting my friend's house at the moment, and they've got like a cool like music room. I get to just work on, like, it comes and goes. Like some days you're like, oh my god, I'm gonna write the best song, and then the next day you're like, I'm never writing a song that's good ever again. The frustration of sometimes when you almost have too much time to work on things, you get very like overwhelmed by the possibilities.
So I'd love to start off with your amazing like backstory, moving from I think Michigan to Germany to London and then to Melbourne, and your passion is clearly like undeniable. And I know you first came here to study. Do you feel like that throwing yourself out into the deep end when you were here and thinking, oh, I want to pursue music, that's almost needed if you want success or to get your career in gear? Like maybe if you were back home, you might have been less likely to get your name out there and get to the point you are today.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this probably sounds really cheesy, but you know how they say it all starts with a dream. Like, I think some people that I'm friends with now that are like professional musicians, they very much, they grow up with their parents being artists or like having a large community of school friends that play in bands. And through that, you kind of by default become like a musician as well, and it's sort of lived for you and you just follow your idols. Where I think for me, my parents, like my family is a Ford family, like Ford Motor Company, where the area I grew up in Germany, my father worked for Ford, my grandfather worked for Ford, my other grandfather was like a smith for Ford, my uncle, both my cousins, everyone's like working. Even my mother, yeah, she wasn't in the sales department for Ford, where for me, music, especially growing up, was like reading magazines and having very far-fetched dreams of going to festivals and being like, oh my God, look at these rock stars do that, where the actual music community in my school in particular was like very limited to cover bands and being like Blink-182 pop punk cover band with my friends. I even played in a cover band with my mother, a Ford themed cover band called Sweet Chicks and Rat Pack. All sorts of songs, rewriting the lyrics to be Ford themed.
Wow, that sounds cool.
Yeah, but it's sort of the complete opposite to what you're made in a career musician to do. Very like amateur hobby level. So I think, yeah, coming to Melbourne, seeing how, I think that's what I find so special about the local scene here is that it's so approachable and you're easily welcomed. Like there's no hierarchy in a way that when I lived in London, I felt everything was quite like elbows out. You need to fight for your survival to become a small indie musician. Melbourne was quite different in that way.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing because I feel like a lot of people that maybe are in Melbourne think, all right, moving to like Los Angeles or moving to somewhere in like London, that can start my career. But being in Melbourne has a lot of benefits, doesn't it? Like, as you mentioned, the community is there to kind of,
yeah, I think one big like start for me was Milk Records, the label that I'm on, and I think very much from my arrival, they were like doing their residencies and Christmas shows and were very present in that indie music community as something to like look up to, And I found them very inspiring. I guess at that point, Courtney had already started her international career a little bit. So she had like exposure overseas as well. And I think starting to, I helped out as an intern there first, just volunteering, sending out like stamping envelopes and stuff.
Wow.
Which through them, I think I really felt that sense of how special the music community is. And just like I was an exchange student, so you're still a little bit on the outskirts. You don't quite like all your friends are exchange students. Like if you met even just one person that was actually from here, you'd be like, what? Oh my God, look, they're not from like the UK or, I don't know, like Singapore or wherever all my friends were from. So I think, yeah, after stopping my exchange and then coming back, I think making a lot more friends that were also musicians. And like my partner's brother, he's a bass player and plays with like lots of bigger Australian bands where, yeah, you slowly just make your way through like life and build new friendships and connections. Yeah,
and I'd love to dive into that Milk Records life of you now, and I'd love to get your opinion on kind of harnessing the power of these small independent labels, because obviously, as you know, there's a bunch of them in Melbourne. And for you, starting out as just on in a non-musical role, did you always kind of know, all right, one day I want to be releasing music on the label?
Not really. And I'd suggest for anyone to want to be on a label, going that back entrance way of, oh, I'm gonna like work with them and then they'll release me, is probably like you're very lucky if that works out, because I usually, like at this stage with Milk as well, we're always a bit more like, we don't want to get someone's hope up that just because they're helping us out with like we're very grateful when people want to come in and like help with mail outs and stuff, but you never want to disappoint someone if they think that that's a guarantee that we can release their music, because it's like such a small, in terms of resources, financial resources, it's just really hard with any release. But I think I equally, when I started, I just desperately wanted to be around that environment because I found it so inspiring. So I think it's definitely getting involved with people that you admire and a cause that you are passionate about is, I think, the best starting point. And yeah, it's super helpful to have Milk on my side. Obviously, they've got a large fan base that you can latch onto, which, especially starting out, is such a good stepping stone. But I think also one of the main things is the people that I work with at Milk being such good friends of mine. It never really feels like you have this team of unknown people that, like with our overseas label, sometimes it can feel a bit more like I've never met this person and they've just hired a publicist that I've never met and I don't even know how to send them an email because I don't know who they are. with everyone that I work with at Milk Records, you just feel like you're working with your friend and you've got just that spirit of being in a team, I think, is something that I've started to value a lot, especially with our recent releases where you can just run all your ideas past someone rather than just sitting by yourself in your room and overthinking everything.
Yeah, fair enough. And then besides Milk Records, early on, were there any other maybe companies or initiatives that you were involved in that helped build your team or helped some aspect of your career get out there and that you think people should definitely check out?
I think probably in hindsight, I was always, and this is probably related to me having grown up in a very, like my parents were musical, they both played instruments, but no one was like a driven career musician. So I think from the start, I was like, I have to do this myself. I have to know how to record. I have to know how to mix. I have to like play all the instruments. I have to make my artwork. I have to figure out how to take photos, where recently that has shifted a lot to realizing that it's much more fun to work with other people. And lots of people are just a lot better at things than you are. Like, why would I want to play drums if I can get a proper drummer to play a much better rhythm? And I think working probably within your circumstances of what you have, like, there's no point being sad about, for example, not being on a label like Milk Records, because I think lots of these things are just pure luck. Like, my luck was that I started working there, and just by coincidence, someone listened to my music and they were still open to, like, put our music out there. And if I was to concentrate on, like, oh, but Sub Pop didn't want to put our album out, I feel like you can get in, like, a negative spiral of all the things that aren't working out for you, where even just concentrating on, like, the friends that you have that are, like, happy to support you and coming to your shows and are willing to, like, help out with their skills, I think is a great starting point. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing that's come up a number of times, is just making friends in the industry, like never having an ulterior motive, just getting to know people, and who knows, like, when they could come up. How true do you feel like that's been in your career, and how did you kind of go about meeting people and stuff early on?
I think one thing as well, like, you just can't pressure anything to happen. I think if things are meant to happen, they will eventually work out. And I just remember, especially, I mean, it's really hard when you start off, like, as they say, like, starting is the hardest, and once you're a little bit more established, sort of doors open and opportunities arise more freely. But I remember with our first EP, I was just being like, I need a publicist, but we don't have money for publicity, so let me just do it myself and, like, ask friends for, like, email addresses of magazines and who they, like, stalk, like, other bands that I liked, and figure out what magazines they were in and radio shows that could play us. And I probably emailed 100 people, and maybe one person or two people replied, being like, cool, yeah, check it out. And at that point, I was already on Milk Records as a, like, our EP was going to be released on Milk Records. And even having that sort of backup, no one responded to me because they were like, who is this person? But, I mean, people don't usually respond. They might have listened to it. But I think just even putting your name out there, and people might open that email, and even though they've never heard of you, it kind of starts that story in their brain, where they then might come across your name somewhere else, or this or there. And I think from there, like, one person, Mikey Cahill, I think is his name, he, like, writes music reviews. He actually got back to me 4 years ago and was like, oh, thanks, I'll check it out. And I was like, oh, you're my hero. And I've never met him, but then, for example, a week ago, he was at one of our shows at the Milk Records residency. And since then, we've, like, released our album, we've, like, worked a bit more at establishing our name in, like, the Australian music press or radio. And he was like, let me buy you a shot, blah, blah, blah. Like, being like, I remember your name from 4 years ago when you were the one nice person that replied to me, and now here we are 4 years later, like, somehow having established a connection, even though we've never really met, of, like just me knowing that you work for that newspaper. Like, it's very vague, like, connections, right? But I think you just slowly start, through putting your name out there, you start building friendships and relationships with people, whether that's through radio or, like, your friends playing in a band that needs a support band, and you go and play that show, and then your other friend goes like, oh, I saw you at that, like, weird place in Canberra once. There were, like, 10 people there, but yeah, it was really fun. Where the types of people, like, that sometimes talk to me and tell me the most random occasions where they first came across our names, where in my point of view, I'm like, oh, this was such a waste of time. There were 5 people at our first Sydney single launch. And then 3 years on, you're like, ah, there were, like, 2 people there that now bought tickets to our show here or there. Yeah, just don't pressure yourself into thinking it has to go a certain way.
Yeah, so you feel like yeah, don't pressure yourself into making a connection. That a matter of if it's meant to be, it'll be. People will come into your life for reasons, and then something good might happen.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think people can tell when you're desperate and when you're just doing things for a reason of wanting something from them. I think it's a very non-genuine way of approaching a relationship, isn't it? If you're just trying to milk it for its benefits. Where I think if you're coming from a genuine point of, I just really appreciate what you do, I think it's like mutually supporting each other rather than like being like a parasite sucking out someone's energy.
Yeah. I'd love to quickly dive into the music side of it now. So obviously, you mentioned before that through emailing different people when you were getting your first EP out, that had some form of success. But were there any other ways that you used to get your music out there into potential ears of listeners, like different websites or different things people might not know about?
I think probably the biggest thing would be just playing shows and play as many shows as you can and trying to support as many bands that have an audience already that you don't have yet. Even if as an opener you're playing to like 10 people, it's, as I said before, like you play to 10 people 1 year and 2 years later someone says, oh, I saw you open for that band. There were only 10 people there, but it was so good. I think, yeah, playing shows was really a good starting point. And I mean, it's hard with magazines and radio because I feel like even if you get a good article in Clash magazine or DIY magazine, it's only read by as many people that are interested in who you are. Where I don't think these days being featured in even Rolling Stone magazine or NME, often those are web-based online publications. They're not being sent out to masses and masses of subscribers anymore. Where, I mean, it's hard to tell how much value to put on that. But I think just organically, I think one thing that really helps as well is just having your friends support you, even if that's like on social media, being like, my friend has a new song out. And if you do that to your friends as well, you can create like, again, a mutually supportive network of promoting your music where you just, like, I listened to this podcast recently and someone was like explaining just like a chain of dominoes. And if you're the small domino being like a fresh artist, first release, have played two shows, and you're trying to go to the like monster domino that is Rolling Stone magazine, supporting, I don't know, a big band somewhere, and you're trying to like push over that big stone, the easiest way is to just go within your means of pushing all the small stones first. So from your tiny stone here, the next mini stepping stone would be like, have your friends like your music and come back to your shows whenever you play a show, and maybe upload your music on Bandcamp, because if you don't have any music on Bandcamp or the internet for anyone to listen to, no one will know about your music. Like, just really being realistic about what is the relevant step to take rather than getting depressed about someone else's career that you're observing that is just a lot more advanced than you are. Because I think unless you get picked up by a random coincidence by like Pitchfork or something, it just takes a really long time to establish a music career. And I think from an outsider's perspective, things like success are so, you just see the whole picture. You don't see what's going on behind the scenes and how much work it took and how long it took. That I think it's easy to feel, disillusioned.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, that dominoes analogy. I feel like, and you might agree to this, a lot of the time in the music world, the idea of, oh, they came big overnight is really glorified when it really doesn't happen that way. It's kind of like playing a sport or something. You need to break it down into manageable chunks and then build on one and build on one and build to another. And then you finally get to the point that you want to get to.
Exactly. And I think it's also annoyingly often marketed like DIY success and just people, even someone like Courtney, I think Courtney Barnett, she often gets marketed, or at the start would get marketed as like in like indie, had her own label, sensation, and obviously all the credit to Courtney as well for doing that. At the same time, Courtney had like management team and overseas label, and I don't think you just go from nowhere with no support by anyone to suddenly like touring international. Like you need a team of people behind you. And if it's marketed in a way where people think it's just you, like me thinking like, oh, I need to do everything myself because that's how you do it in like an indie DIY scene, I think can be quite setting you up for disaster, because you can't be your publicist. And like, you can start off that way, but it's not like a sustainable thing to put that much pressure on yourself that you can do things just by yourself. It's just an impossible task. I feel like I'm usually, I think my whole mindset is a bit like no regrets type thing. As I think said earlier, like everything happens for a reason and everything takes time for a reason. Maybe it's you're personally not ready, or you need to like learn, like you have your own development curve of like, I needed to come to a place of realizing that me being our own manager, I'm still our own manager, but it took me like 4 years now to be like, I think I should try and find a manager because it just distracts from my music writing and everything. I don't think I'd do anything differently, really. I really think being so hands-on and involved with our career and the way it's shaped out, you feel quite proud of your accomplishments because you know that there hasn't been anything fast-tracked and you've kind of worked very hard for where you're at. Like, it's frustrating and you have lots of periods of doubt and feeling a little bit I should at this stage be like so much more successful or achieved, but I think it's just focusing on the little successes here and there. And I think also just having my band of very supportive and lovely people, where it's just so much fun to have rehearsals and spend time together. I think it's, yeah, worth it. And I mean, yeah, we aren't yet touring sold out headline things in Europe or America, but I think it will all happen in due course. It's just like changing your mindset a little to think positively and focus on the opportunities rather than potential failures. So yeah, no regrets.
That was the amazing Anika from Pachiki, giving us awesome insights about giving it your all, moving overseas and starting a career, and just how to meet new people. You can follow Anika over at Hachiku, follow us over on Instagram at Puzzle Piece Pod, and check out all the other awesome Sin podcasts over at sin.org.au.